Blog Talk Radio.
Hearts beating. It was just such a magnificent thing that he created us and genetically engineered us to be able to just perform and just do the will of what he's called us to do. But I don't want to get too far off, and that is another series. I do teach in a lot of series. You hardly ever see me come on and just give you something. Just it's nothing that you can't really follow up on, but it's going to be something that you can continue to just stay with and read over and over and over again. And as you get more understanding about the word and more direction about as we look into it, and as always, this is what we're going to be dealing with today. Our last part of the book of Acts, chapter 16 of the book of Acts, dealing with the area of Paul and Silas and the power of prayer and the power of faith. Not only just the power of prayer, but the power of faith. You know, when James speaks over in the book of James, I show me a man that said he had faith for no movement, and I show you a man's faith that is dead. We serve a living God, and it's just a revelation. As we get started, let me get started with prayer, and let's open up with prayer before I get to moving. Because I feel the power of God moving in the presence right now to just demonstrate his word. And I tell you, the book of Jeremiah quotes, and it says the word, that God watches over his word. The word was never designed to go forth with this much revelation, with no demonstration. And we as men and women got to come together and start believing that whatever we say out of our mouths can come to full fruition. Father God, we thank you once again for giving us this platform. Father God, we declare and decree that every negative spirit unchecked that won't intervene or come in and try to stop that which you have created on today. Lord, let the manifestation of the power, let the manifestation of the spirit, let the words, Lord, that I speak, Lord, as you hide me behind the cross and do the very work that you called me to do. Father God, I thank you for not only your revelation, but for your demonstration and power through the words of the wisdom that you have given me, Lord, to speak to your people. Father God, there's nothing that I can do, anything that I can do, but it's through your word. And I thank you, Father God, as we go forth, let everything be in the kingdom, let everything come from the kingdom. Lord, you have given us the ability and the power to speak the kingdom, and not through denominations, but through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father God, guide us, keep us. Let your paraclete be with us on this afternoon as we go through the word and see what the power of prayer can do for the believer. These things we ask are not of ourselves, but of the power of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord, amen. For those of you who will be calling into the studio and want to be a part of the show as we continue to go through this series, the last part of this series on the day, the call-in number tonight is going to be 347-637-1074. That's 347-637-1074. And we allow you, we welcome you to call into the studio with any questions you may have concerning this series that we're going to be speaking on. For those of you who was with us from the first part of, that we began it, it was very good. We ate very well, and we plan on eating good tonight. And God bless each and every one of you. And once again, for information about me, myself, of course, is Harvest New Life Church. That's www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. And you can go there and find all the information about the church, our locations, and what we have in service, and just keep us in prayer as we continue to break ground and go forth. A lot of things that we've been dealing with concerning some of the laws and regulations of what we can't build or what we can't do. And we know the word of God has declared that no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. Nothing will be able to stand. So we believe according to the power of God and the power of the demonstration of the Spirit that the enemy's got to take his hands off of that what belongs to us. And that's Christ has given us the ability to claim and declare and decree and call things according to Romans 4:17 to be not though if they were. And we're speaking this afternoon as we go forth in this study. Well, without any further ado, let us begin and look at the book of Acts chapter 16. If you turn your book over to Acts chapter 16, we want to look at the 27th verse. We left off a little bit dealing with the 25th verse, and I want to just kind of read from the 25th to the 26th and get us a little up, kind of bring us up to date what God is speaking to us on this series concerning what we left off on yesterday. We didn't get a chance to have the study on Thursday because of a day to be thankful. And, you know, that's good with me, that you got to take time off to be with your family, be with your loved ones, and just take time to sit back and relax. You know, you don't have to worry about the church, but keep the spirit in you. You know, you don't have to worry about the building or worry about the very bricks and mortar, but keep the spirit of God in you. Enjoy your family, you know, and be able to separate and be among them and pray. You be the minister of your household. at that time as you pray over your family, friends, and just keep everybody safe and know that God is in their presence, and it's good to see us all in the land of the living. And even those who passed on who served real well for the kingdom of God. We give honor to the Crouch, to the man of God who's went on to be with the Lord, and we know he's got a great track record, and we just thank God for the works that he has given and left us. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that he's done a faithful work, and God has opened his arms to that, what he has done here on earth. Now he's received the crown, I believe, in the kingdom of heaven that no man can take away, as Paul says. It would not diminish, it would not blemish, and no weapon formed against it shall prosper. So we thank you as we look over in the book of Acts chapter 16. And looking at the 27th verse, it says, "And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open," he drew out his sword, and now this is the word God said, he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, or they had fled it out, or they had left. The Amplified Version said when the jailer started, when he was startled out of his sleep, he saw that the prisoner's doors was open, and he drew his sword, and on the point of killing himself, because he supposed that this is just how the enemy gets in your mind. He tricks you with things that you don't know that you ought to know according to the kingdom of God. Like, he's giving you the right to the tree of life. He's giving you the right to live in heavenly places. In other words, when you go into circumstances in your life, you deal with bills, you deal with issues, you deal with family problems, or you deal with marriage or domestic problems, whatever it may be, remember the enemy is going to come in and try to break up any kind of covenant that God's put in place. What he uses, you can't break the covenant, but it's the people that's in the covenant that breaks the covenant. Am I talking to anybody here? Meaning that the covenant is going to always have its value to what it's set to do. But just like the land, everything in the land obeys Christ but man. You know, the trees grow, the grass withers, it does what it's supposed to do every season. But us, his own creation, made in the image of who he is and who he's like, we are the only ones who rebelled against the commandments or the covenants of God. The Ten Commandments wasn't put in place for you to love them. It was put in place for you to abide by them. And then you have a life that Christ has given you. He said a jailer supposed that the prisoners had escaped. And even sometimes you suppose some things in your life. And sometimes you suppose some things that escaped away from you and you don't know how to get it back. I don't want to give an opening service to anybody that want to come in and be a part of the kingdom right now, but it's certainly a good opportunity right now to realize that there are some things that God imputed in you, and as he imputed in you, it was never designed for it to escape out of you. In other words, it was supposed to be a beacon system in you. The Word of God does declare that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, whether you rebel against what God has called you to be, it's totally up to you, because God has given you a free will. But the Word of God does declare, if any man fall on his knees and call upon my name, that's Romans 8, 9, and 10. He said, whereas the word is in your mouth, it's near you. If you confess your sins and believe in your heart, just like this man of God who was at the prisons who held Paul. And you look at the historical part of the prisoners who held Paul in that area part of Philippi, and the earthquake that took place, they was prisoners also. They were slaves also. Slaves was taking care of slaves. And that's amazing when you look at your life. And sometimes there are some people that's in your life that's keeping you captive, and you don't know how to escape. And the only way you know how to escape is listen to the enemy to try to take your life out, or divorce that husband he's given you, or quit something that God has put in your heart to do, because you've been trained to be disrupted, or you've been trained to be discombobulated. I've been confused by what people say. You know, the Word of God say once you give a vision, it won't go back. You know, we read that in the book of Numbers 23:19-21, God said, am I God that I should lie? Or am I son of that man that I should have to repent? He's been given a commandment to bless, and he cannot reverse it. So we go on to the 29th verse. But Paul shouted, do not harm yourself, for we are here. Now, he gave an indication that something's about to take place. The fact that you didn't kill yourself over an incident that happened in your life, and if God had given a word to a man of God to tell you it ain't over till it's over, you better believe the word for the prophet. The Word of God does declare in the book of Amos chapter 3, I don't bring a word into this land unless it's revealed through my prophets. God has mouthpiece in the land. Whether you want to believe what Romans 2:7-8, it's up to you. The Bible says, he who has an ear, Let them hear what the Spirit has to say. If you quit judging people by what they look like or what they have on, the credibility of what they have, then you too also receive the Word of God. You don't have to receive a powerful word from a man of God because he sits on a high platform with 10,000 people. You don't have to receive an anointed word from a man of God. If he seems to have all the television shows and all the radio shows, look at me. My ministry is not as big as people want it to be, but inside, internally, in the spirit, it's gigantic because the world is my mission field. You know, and I don't believe that's a ministry around can hold the world. I mean, everybody I go to and everybody I talk to, even those who are inviting to my church will come and join. It's not that I'm able to do anything because I know the work that the Father's doing through me is to him. And I can't do anything without the Father, without the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul shouted to this young man who was at the prisoner. He said, look, don't kill yourself, in other words. Let's put it in layman. Don't kill yourself. Don't be bombarded. They got you trained so bad that you want to kill yourself for something to happen. You think they would come out here and hold us on the prison door and think they would kill themselves. But you've been a slave to them, holding these men of God, which is us, in prison. And now it seems like you, the law and the rules have been broken. You want to kill yourself. Now, Paul said, don't kill yourself. And it reads over in the King James Version. It begins to speak out, and it says in that particular verse, when you think about it and you listen to how it says, Paul said in the 28th verse, he makes a victory. But Paul, he cried with a loud voice. And this is how we should do to the people that's out there in the world that's suffering. We should be able to cry out to them, lift up our voice like a trumpet, because we're living in the last day. There are people out there being lost. There are people that are drugged out. There are people that are cracked out. There are people that just tripped out and just toe up, as I always say, from the flow up. Don't know which way to go, up, look down, or right, look wrong. They can't tell a spade from a spade. But God is sending you as being a man and woman of God of the throne to be able to go out and go among them, go and be a light among the dark and be able to call them out. He made you the beacon system of the kingdom. And this is what happened with Paul and Silas. Even when they're in prison, when it seems like your life is in prison and you seem like things are going wrong for you, know that God has got an earthquake in your life that will shake you. And when it shakes you to the foundations of your core, you will be able to pray for somebody else rather than praying for yourself. Just don't always cry out to God for something that you want. Cry on the behalf of somebody else who's going through. And when you cry on the behalf of somebody else who's going through, then God will see favor to do for you. But you can't be selfish. The Word of God does declare in His decree, a man who seeks to save his life will lose his life. But a man who will lose his life for my sake, and his sake, is to go out and do the Word of the Gospel. Plant the Word. Plant the seed in the lives of the people, that even when you tell them, when the time comes, when God to receive His own, guess what? They know what side they're supposed to be on. People are not dumb. They know the Word of God. But because they rebel and do what they want to do, and want to be in their own pleasures, they find themselves walking outside the kingdom of God to the point that when something goes wrong is when they want to come in. Don't wait until the hammer come down. Be praying when it looks like something coming at you. When all hell breaks loose, you need God. What you need to be doing is praying when hell ain't breaking loose, because hell is about to break loose. Something is about to take place in your life, or something is about to go on. Whether it be in your marriage, whether it be the kids, whether it be finances, something's about to break in your life. Something's about to happen. And I'm telling you, man, woman of God, if you done planted some seed in the ministry, if you done planted some seed in the kingdom of God, and you done declared on the Word of God that no weapon can be formed against you, you too also would be just like this young man over in verse 27 who seek to take his life. But somebody came along and told you, don't take your life. You're more valuable down here than you are out of here. Because God has given you a gift according to Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you, I knew you. I gave you a gift. I gave you the ability. I gave you the authority according to the kingdom of God to repent for all your sins, and I will engraft my spirit in you, and I will give you the ability to walk in the spirit. And when you walk in the spirit, all power will be given unto you, that when you speak a word and declare it, it'll come to full fruition. I'm telling you, man and woman, God, this is what happened with Paul and Silas. What no prison bars are able to hold them. No prison bars are able to hold you. Whatever is going on in your life, you got to believe that God has got to quake you beyond measure, shake you to the foundations of your core, and loose every negative spirit, every demon and every devil to try to make you feel opposite of what God has already promised. I'm telling you, men and women, God, when you begin to pray, that begins to open up the kingdom of heaven. The Word of God does declare whenever He gives you a vision, No man can come against your vision. No soothsaying spirit can stop what God has already given you according to his word. Your word to the kingdom of God is to pray. Get in your prostrate position and begin to pray to the Lord. Ask him for directions. As it says in Psalms 3 and 5, lean not to your own, but acknowledge God in all his ways. Ain't it something that the man of God called within the prison and so getting ready to save the very man who locked them up, fastened them in with shackles? They say they cast them into jail. There are some people who cast you into situations in your life. There are some things that's going on in your life. But through the glory and the power of God, I believe you got to be loose. As T.D. Jakes says, woman, thou art loose. Man, thou art loose. There can't no weapon hold you. You got to believe that the power of prayer has got the ability to break every shackle, break every letter, lay the axe to every root that you're going through in your life. And I mean, man and woman of God, it's not about the bricks and the mortar. It's not about the size of the church. It's not about the choir that's in the church. It's about your individual belief. And I'm telling you, when it's all said and done, if you don't stay in your lanes and realize the work that God has called you to do, and you're more mesmerized by the things around you than the things that's going on in you, you'll be headed for straight destruction. I'm telling you, man and woman of God, you're going to be judged on the wrong side. If you don't get your life right and believe that somebody's crying out for you and somebody's telling you don't kill yourself, not even in the physical death, but in the spiritual death, meaning don't take your hands off the plow. Whenever God is calling you to do a work, whenever God is beaconing you to get your life right, don't turn away. Don't harden your heart the day you hear the word of God's voice. The Bible says, hearken not your heart the day you hear my voice. And I'm telling you, man and woman, God, some of us just really want to go ahead and just do it anyway. We want to go void on God's word anyhow, not listening to what God has to say and doing things what we think is our way, never getting any instructions about what God is really calling you to do. I mean, I don't know how many people say they hear the word of God, but when you read the commandments, it tells you don't use the word thy God in vain. And so many people are getting out of ministries and getting out of place of leadership or getting out of place of following leaders because they want to say the word, my time is up here, what the Lord told me. Well, you know, the Lord ain't really told you nothing. You just don't want to do it because you've been hard at it. You don't want to stay still and serve the man and woman of God because now you want to try to do things your way. You want to go and look for things that are more pleasurable, more feasible. So what that church you went to didn't have as many people you wanted to have. So what it didn't see appeasing to you, what you think you call a church. You think the building is a church, and you think you are the church. Maybe you should go inside and be able to understand what's in you need to be corrected before you start looking on the outside about what somebody else is doing and learn how to follow instructions. This man of God heard the man of God speak to him. He said, look, we are all here. When you look at the 27th verse, the jailer was startled. This amplifier say he was startled out of his sleep, and he saw the prison doors open. Can you imagine that coming up out of a bad dream, and it looked like something was taking place, and you just waking up in a cold sweat. You don't know up, look down, or right, look wrong, but you staggered. You get a dream, and you get a vision about something. You wake in the middle of the night, and you go and drink a whole bottle of cold water trying to snap up out of it. No, you ain't snapping up out of nothing. God trying to get your attention to get you to get on the way to get right. Because the time is winding down, and somebody is crying out to you. Whether you listen or not, it's up to you. Whether you look at that person, that man of God who's telling you that word, whether you look at him on the performance level or you look at him on the spiritual level. Because I'm telling you, man and woman of God, if you're looking at him on the performance level, which the world views him as being somebody that he's not, versus what God is showing you spiritually, you done already lost out there. Because we are people of vision. And once we see and hear, we begin to go on thinking and voting and doing things we want to do. Let me tell you something, man and woman of God. The majority ain't always right. Elijah was a man who walked on his own. That brother spoke a word over there, and Jeff said it won't be no dew nor rain for no seed. He didn't have no bunch of congregation of people around him. He spoke a prophetic word, and it came to pass. Is anybody listening to me this afternoon? When God begins to do things in your life through your prayer life, when you begin to seek God with all your heart and all that was in you, God will show you mighty things that you never known or ever seen before in your life. I don't worry about who comes on my station. I don't worry about who don't show up. If you want to show up, you're here. If you want to listen to the archive, that's good. I hope you get something out of it. But my job is to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you, God. Men of God sit on the throne and give you so many words about pleasure, and nobody want to tell you whether you're going to hell or not. If you ain't doing right, you're going to hell. And I tell you today, if you ain't living right, you're going to hell. If not God will, now one of us be plucked out because he created us. But if you're not living right, if you love Delilah more than you love God, then you got a problem. That's what Samson ran into. He loved Delilah any more than he loved God. And Delilah got to messing around with him, and they got in that thing too thick. And before you know it, he opened his mouth in the wrong way. And before you know it, she tricked him. And when she tricked him, he caused things to come against him. But God revived him before the end of his life, gave him his strength back. Don't you want your strength back? Don't you want to do the work that God has called you to do despite of what man is telling you? The word of God, Paul speaks over in the book of Acts, who should we believe, man or God? There's a powerful word comes over in the book of Acts, over in the book of chapter 5, I believe, as we turn over chapter 5 in the book of Acts. I want to show you something here as we keep the page over in chapter 16. I want to flip over the book, chapter 5, I believe, over in the book of Acts. And let me get my marbles right here, because I want to make sure I'm telling you right. And it deals with the Gamaliel, the high priest. And he's coming before the Sanhedrin, and he spoke a powerful word unto him. He said over in Acts 5:36, he said, For before these days rose up Titus, boasting to himself that somebody, whom a member of a man about 400 joined him, served as slaves, who were slain, and all of the many obeyed him, who were scattered and brought to nothing. Now listen to this on the 37th voice. And as a man rose up in Judea and Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also presided all that even as many obeyed him were despised. 38th verse. We in Acts 5:38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. He said, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Listen to 38. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you be fighting against God himself. Now, this is the English version. Now, lest you be fighting against God himself and be found even to fight against God. In other words, you'll find yourself fighting against God himself, and you cannot win. Now, listen how he says it in the King James version. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye may be found even to fight against God. In other words, God has never lost a battle. You come against God's prophet, to come against God's people, you're going to have a problem. Now, he made the word very clear that he came against the council. Gamaliel came against these men of God. He said that in the 36th verse, he said, before the days rose, there was Titus boasting to himself about be somebody who a number of men, about 400, joined him. Meaning he crawled and he brought the word, and he allowed these people to come in by the words of the power of the Spirit. They joined to him. And the men got mad. They came against them. The unbelievers came against them. And they slain these men. But Gamaliel went on to say, if this thing be of God, if it be of man, it'll fall to nothing. But if it be of God, you'll find yourself fighting against God himself, and you cannot win. Now, my point made here, that even when you look at Paul and Silas, when the word came to them over in Macedonia, you know, when the word came from to come over to Macedonia, and they begin to go over to Macedonia, and then they begin to do the work, immediately as they touched on the ground, we look in the 18th verse, and they said, as many days that Paul began grieved and turned and said to this woman, I command thee in the name of Jesus, come out. And the spirit came out of her within that hour. Now, the demonstrating of the power of God was demonstrated in Acts 18. But the starting of the very clique or the very problem that began to take place with those men there started in 14. They say with this certain woman by the name of Lydia. Even not only the name of Lydia, but in the next verse, this woman who had a spirit of divination, the demons was on her. And he demanded by the word of God that they come up out of her. And then the people who was using her as a soothsayer to get money or fleecing the people saw what happened, and they began to drag Paul before the magistrate. Let me bring this together for you. I'm going somewhere with this. This demonstration of the power of the Spirit followed by the power of the commandment of God. The man said in the dream, come over here, Paul. Over in the 12th chapter, over in Acts 16 and 12. He said, and there is in Philippi, was the chief city of Macedonia. Now this man called out to Paul in the 9th verse in a vision. Said, man, look, come over and help us. There are some things that need to be spoken over here. Now, on the way, as Paul goes over there, the trap has already been set by the enemy. I heard the word of God said, no weapon formed against you. Now, it may take a physical attribute on you, but that's when your faith has got to come in. That when the enemy began to pounce on you, as he pounced on Paul and Silas, they began to pray because they knew when they came over to Macedonia, it was of God to tell them what they needed to do. Can I talk to somebody this afternoon? It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what your life looked like, what somebody said about you, and what you think you're so far down on the ground, somebody got to pump light down to you. God can bring you out. Is anybody here? They said a word came to this young jailer over in the 28th verse that it was a shout came from within the prison from Paul and Silas over in the 27th verse. And they told them, look, don't you kill yourself. Don't you kill yourself. Don't you harm yourself. We want to save you. In other words, we got something to deal with you on. And when the man came over in the 28th verse, they said in the 29th verse, it began to say, then he called a light. And he sprang in, and they're trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. That's the power of the Spirit. It dropped them like a rock. When you come under the power and the travailing of the Holy Spirit, you cannot resist it. If you truly a man, a woman, God, and praying and travailing, when the Spirit hits you, it will knock you to your knees. It will drop you down. We talked to the story about when David came against the battles over there in the book of I believe it's the book of Ephesians, no, the book of Joshua. And we talk about how the spirit of the angel came, one of God's battling angels, came into place, and David walked in and said, are you for us or the adversary? The angel told David, no, I am from the commandant of the army of the Lord. He said, drop to your knees, because where you stand now is on holy ground. And he had to drop down. And David dropped to his face and began to tremble and cry. When the presence of power of God come upon you, you really know you've been delivered. You really know that there's something in your life that needs to be changed. And you don't have the strength to change it. I don't know what you're dealing with, whether you deal with homosexuality, whether you deal with fornication, whether you got cancer in your body, whether somebody told me you wasn't able to be able to have the children that you wanted, whether you deal with thyroid problems. I don't care what you have, back problems, chronic heart problems. God can bring you out of whatever it is that you're in. But you're going to have to believe, and you're going to have to spare the spirit of Paul and Silas to be able to pray. Though the God's got the ability to deliver you from everything. I don't know where you are this afternoon. And I know if you're in a position where this man of God was over here in jail, when they begin to call to this young man and say, don't kill yourself, because a cry came within. And when he came to Paul and Silas in the 29th verse and he fell to his knees, the power of the light came within him. It came and surrounded them, and the brother began to tremble. It says in the 30th verse, and he brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And is anybody here what I'm telling you this afternoon? I don't care what kind of prison the enemy's got you in. You can be delivered within your situation that you're in, but you're going to have to believe that it's going to take prayer to get you out of where you are. And if you don't have the power to believe, and you believe in some kind of soothsayer that's telling you all kind of things that make you feel good, and you don't believe the fact that God's got the ability to bring you out, then you already lost, because you put your faith in men rather than God. Now, don't take this wrong. God has called me to deliver a word, but you ain't to believe in me. You believe in the word that I speak, because you got to line it up with the word. And the word the Lord said, the words I speak are spirit and truth. And those words will set you free. And who a man sets free, who a son sets free, is free indeed. You got to realize that in your life, that when you're dealing with proclivities, when you're dealing with subverting things, that direction to pull you away, you got to know how to get back on course. I tell you all the time, the man of God that's over there in Houston by the name of Apostle Walker at Disciples Tabernacle brings a word down there in the name of Jesus. Mighty man of God, speaks with very honor and very power. because he's a man that stands full, flat-footed in the gospel and don't deter. He's not worried about numbers. He's not worried about accolades or anything. The man of God does an apostolic work, I mean a true apostle in the business. We want to gather the apostles on the proper name because of how many thousands of people we got in the church. And then we want to find every scripture in the world that says if a church is thriving and it's beyond measure over 10,000 and it's successful. Well, who told you that lie? Jesus turned the whole world upside down with only 12 men. You know, so don't come telling me about you got to have a packed house to make sure the church is thriving. So what? You got a lot of people in it, but how many people that are really being saved? How many people are really receiving the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, baptizing the Spirit, of being baptized in the power of the Spirit, being delivered? I'm not talking about just going to the church saying I'm saved. I'm talking about being delivered, transformed, and changed, as it says in Romans. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you not present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, but out of a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, he said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he said, all old things are passed away, all things become new. You got to become a new man, a new woman in Christ. When you become new, your family become new. When you become new, your husband become new. Is anybody talking to you? Am I talking to anybody? I just want to get you to understand that you got the ability, according as we close out this series, you can be just like the jailer who imprisoned a man of God. And even as him being the jailer, he was imprisoned by somebody else because he was a slave. And they used the slaves to run the prison. But there was a double jeopardy about to take place in this day. Yeah, there was some delivering about to take place. And that man came up out of that jail and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, and it says in the 31st verse, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is anybody here? All you got to do is believe. I don't know where you are this afternoon. I don't know what you're going through. I don't even know what kind of situation you're dealing with, whether whatever it is, God can take care of it. And he can bring you out of whatever it is you're going through. Is anybody talking to him? I'm going to open up the line for those who want to come on and speak concerning this particular message, this particular series. The lines are now open for anyone who want to come in and speak out. If not, we're going right into prayer, and we're going to move right on. It's just like the bus was moving. You know, if you're on the bus stop, the bus is there. If you ain't on the bus stop, guess what? It's going to keep on moving. You don't stop my route. My route is going to keep on moving. I may not be pleasing or appeasing to the ears of some people. I may not be the way that you want me to be. But I guarantee you by the word of God, if you line this thing up what I'm speaking, I guarantee it'll line up everything that I'm saying tonight. It'll line up word for word. And I might bring it in the style that you want and the way you want it. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's the truth, and it's the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Somebody's got to cry out to get you out of your prison. And somebody's got to get you to, when you come out of the prison, you don't be so blinded that you ride right into the enemy's arm and get slayed by him and mess around and get envisioned by something that you're never supposed to be envisioned by and get your life taken away. The lines are open. For those who want to call in, area code is 347-637-1074. Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, Texas. For those of you who want to come out to our services, go to our website. See all the information. Just follow instructions. Just follow instructions. And you will see what the power of God can do in your life. Those who want to give their life to salvation, the sinner's prayer, you can call in for that also. You know, and receive your deliverance right here on the line. You got to be before a group of people. That's one thing about what everybody see that we've been saved. Now go into your own house, on your own clothes, and get on your knees and pray the prayer of repentance. You know, and believe that God can bring you out of whatever it is. You know, sinner's prayer and salvation. That God can bring you out of whatever it is that you're going through. You don't need anybody to with you. You believe in the word of God. For those who want to be in contact with me this afternoon, can call me. Area code is 214-870-2146. We just thank God for every one of you who joined us this afternoon. We pray that this series has been a good series to help you and where you're going. We declare by the word of God that even in the midst of everything that's going on, that God has already showed us a favorable to you. We thank God for you. We couldn't do anything without you. You know what? Thank you for your support. Thank you for those who've been with me and my wife through all that we've been doing. It ain't over yet.
It ain't over yet. We still got a long way to go, and we still got a lot of preaching, a lot of praying to go. And we believe right now, as we go into the sinner's prayer, salvation, that we're going to trust God. And as we listen to this very word, I want you to take heed of it. And it says that the salvation of prayer is something that refers to as the sinner's prayer. And talks about regarding the location of the sinner, where you are as a sinner, and how you got to recognize how you are and the things that you deal with in your life. Your job is to confess, Romans 8, 9, and 10. The Word of God says the Word is right there in your mouth. When you read what it says, the prayer that comes from actually, as I said, Romans 10 to chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, then you know if you confess with thy mouth that the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Just like the prisoner said, what must I do to be saved? He gave an open heart to want to be saved. And God is that God has raised his son from the dead. You know, you got to believe that, understand and know that for you to be delivered or whatever it is you in, you got to understand that you got to be able to pray. And let's go ahead and pray and get started. Say, dear God, in heaven I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I am sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I need your forgiveness. I believe on the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. And I am now willing to turn from my sins. And you begin to speak out and ask God, Lord, you say, Lord, right now I confess Jesus as my Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal. I ain't say no church, no building. Your own personal Savior. And according to his word, right now I am saved. And when you say that word, you say, Lord, I thank you for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never led to license and never led to anything that it held against me, that you got the power to break every letter according to the book of Colossians. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace, that the power of your mercy is upon me, even when it seems like I don't understand how to come out of what I'm in. Lord, deliver me. Transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and you alone yourself. With me, Lord, you be myself. I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me eternal life. These things I speak not of myself, but in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Once again, we thank you for joining us on tonight. For those of you who didn't call in, you did, and you received the sinner's prayer, I would like to have at least hear an email from you. You can email me at harvestnlc@gmail.com. Once again, it's harvestnlc@gmail.com. For those who want to call, you can do that as well, 214-870-2146. And if you just want to find more about who I am as a pastor and me and co-pastor Pat Ellis, you can go to our website, which is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. God bless you. And I tell you, it's not a better time. If I was to do anything, if I wanted to do something right now, I'll get saved. It's not a better time now to be saved because the world is running in division. You know, you'll see how it's just moving in division. How they're the left, you can see clearly those who are on the left wing and on the right wing. And I'm telling you, before the hammer drops, and you may think that I'm saying we living in the last day. No, it ain't the last day. We in it. We watching the very things take place in the last days. We're seeing all these things in the world system that's taking place. But I tell you, once again, God bless you. We love you for joining us on tonight, being a part of this show, and just being able to have any comments. You still, the lines are still open. We still got time for those who want to call in the comments. It doesn't matter if you need prayer. It doesn't matter if you need prayer for anything. I don't care what you're dealing, what you're going through, what it seems like is impossible for you to get through. Is the word of God? He said, "In my word like a hammer that break the rock, and then like fire." He says in Jeremiah 32:17, is anything hard for me to do? Your job is to be able to have the strength to know that you got to say, Lord, I want to change. I don't want to keep on living on this roller coaster, this proclivity, this jumping, this back and forth, this up and down, this wishy-washy, this Dr. Jekyll, this Mr. Hyde ride. I'm one day something in the church, and when I get out of church, I got all this spicy language coming out of my mouth. And the word does declare the bitter and sweet can't come out of the same fountain. And yet we still find ourselves not being fully delivered from whatever it is that's in us. The soul is the sack of your heart. And whatever your soul carries is going to fall into the heart. And whatever speaks out of the heart is going to come out. Watch your soul. Watch your heart. Guard your mouth. These things that we speak are the issues of life. James talks about the tongue. It's such a small thing, but it boasts such a kindling, it's such a great fire. And what we got to do as men and women, God, is to know and declare and decree that God has got the ability to do everything according to his will, his word, his power, and his purpose. And the word of God does say, no weapon formed against him should prosper, and nothing will be able to stand. So we thank you for joining us this afternoon. We thank you for being on our show this afternoon. And we believe through the word of God, through the power of the Spirit, that you will get out and you will join and be with us on Sunday afternoon. Sunday morning service, whatever you choose to come to, we would love to have you to come out and be a part. Amen. Well, once again, God bless you. God keep you. I'm going to leave you with a song, and I'm quite sure you will love it. And it's always something that I like listening to. But once again, we thank you. We love you, and God bless you, and God keep you.